Well, we have been in a series. This will be week 3 of our Faith Set Free series. And so we're going to continue that today. And if you weren't here with us the first 2 weeks, I've got a brief recap for you. We started in the book of Acts, and we'll be there again today. But in talking about the book of Acts, it's not just this list of attributes or these things to memorize. It's actually this book that tells the story of the birth of Christianity and the very beginning of the spreading of the gospel. And so when you're going through the book of Acts, there's one specific word at the very end that we talked about in the first week of this series, and that word is unhindered. It kind of brings all this stuff back together, everything that they were doing and going to do. And it talks about this freedom or their faith being set free or unhindered. And so out of that, in week 1, we looked at 3 ways that our faith is set free. And the first one is that we are unhindered no matter the circumstance. Paul was imprisoned for several years, and all of these letters that he's writing, most of them come from while he was in captivity. And you don't really get that impression in the writing. You don't really get the impression that he's hindered at all. He was on house arrest, and he would allow anyone to come in and visit him, and then he would use that opportunity to impact people's lives and minister to those people. And he didn't really associate the fact that he was physically hindered with his faith. His faith was set free to roam the world through letter, even though his body couldn't. And we talked about the same being true for us. Even though we might be in a situation where we're limited physically, or we don't have the means to go throughout the world and spread this, we still have a faith that is unhindered, even if our body is. The second thing we talked about was that we are set free by being a part of the kingdom. The Son has set us free. We are free indeed, and there's no need to sacrifice animals anymore or go to the temple to be cleansed. But Jesus has come and not only freed us from sin and death, but he is now this direct avenue that we have to the Father. So we are set free to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then the third thing was that we receive the lavish love of God. Through Jesus, God has given his love in extravagant amounts. And we are free not only to receive that love, but to pour that same love out into the lives of others. So that was week 1. Last week, we talked about being free to forgive, or forgiveness set free. So the first thing that we talked about was that forgiveness is for everyone. It's no longer just for the people of Israel or just for the people who have adopted the Jewish faith. But what Jesus did on the cross made forgiveness available for all, once and for all time. The second thing is that all we need to do for this forgiveness is to confess and believe. So in doing that, we confess that Jesus is Lord, or confessing that we are not Lord, and then believing in our heart that he's risen from the dead. This is out of Romans 1:9. And when we believe that something in our heart, that leads to change, right? If we believe something deep within us, that leads to life change. So when we submit to Jesus as Lord and then believe that he is risen, that leads us to forgiveness and also repentance, or turning from whatever it is that's causing separation. And the third thing is that we are forgiven to forgive. Forgiving others is an act of selflessness, right? It's focusing on other people, but it's also obedience to God. But it wasn't meant just to benefit others. We talked about unforgiveness in our lives, or holding on to things and not forgiving other people leads to all kinds of issues, be it spiritual or emotional or physical. And for all of us, we were called to forgive as we have been forgiven. It's not just a call to help others, but we're actually helping ourselves indirectly as well. And so that's where we left off last week. This week, we're going to talk about power, or power set free. Power is an interesting thing, isn't it? You say power, that's a very, very broad term. But power is all around us, right? It impacts our lives every single day. And yet at the same time, it's really hard to define what that is, right? Just if you just define power, well, there's many different ways to look at it. We have electricity that's running pretty much everything we rely on all the time. Do you remember the last time your power went out? You probably do, because you live in Middletown. Yeah. It's not fun, is it? It gets really boring really fast when your power is out. You don't realize how much you rely on it until you don't have it. And I always think that I was meant to live for a simpler time, and then my power goes out and I quickly realize that I am not, in fact, made for a simpler time. I really enjoy modern conveniences. I like having that stuff in my home. It's good. Outside of electricity, there's all kinds of other power sources we use. We harness the power of wind to turn mills, or water to turn mills, or we harness little explosions to power engines for transportation. And there's so many other ways we use power. But the funny thing about power is kind of that we have to measure it, right? So how do you accurately measure power? Sometimes it's through amps and volts, which are pretty accurate, but other times we use terms like manpower, right? Or horsepower, which is even funnier. Like, what a funny way to look at a motor and say, here's this motor and it's got 900 horsepower, right? How did they figure this out? I'm sure there's a formula for horsepower. Don't get me wrong. I didn't do any research on this, by the way. This is just how I believe it happened in my head. I think the first steam engine train came out, they tied a bunch of weight to it, right? And then they tied the same amount of weight to a horse, and then they just kept on adding horses, right? Until it pulled the same amount of weight. I bet that's how it happened. If it didn't, I'm disappointed. Because how else are you going to get there, right? I mean, the horsepower, come on. 900 horses don't go as fast as a car with 900 horsepower, right? And the car is probably not pulling because it's not geared. It's a flawed system. Anyway, it's a crazy notion to think about. Whether it's batteries or engines or a power outlet or just old-fashioned muscles or elbow grease, we all have access to a lot of different power sources. So when looking at power through the lens of a Christian or of Christianity, we have access to a different power source, right? We have access to the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is this main power source of a Christian. The Spirit is this multifunctional, multifaceted component to living as an empowered and unhindered Christian, or having a free life in Christ. So in the Spirit, we have, among all kinds of things, strength. We have strength to share, strength to persevere, and strength to love. And so as we continue on this series today, I'm excited to explore this idea of power with you today and unpack what that power means for the follower of Jesus. Now, it's no secret, right, that Jesus was able to accomplish a lot of things on earth, both in miracles and healings, but also in self-control. And we read these things about what Jesus had done on this earth. That power is not of this world, right? That's not something that you or I can just wake up and go do. Like, this is a otherworldly power. It was something that's never been seen before and hasn't been seen since. There's been no equivalent. Even Napoleon Bonaparte, the great military genius, was looking back over his years of conquest, and he is reported to have said this: Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have built great empires, but upon what did they depend? They depended on force. But centuries ago, Jesus started an empire that was built on love, and even to this day, millions will die for him. So these weapons, if you could call them that, the weapons that Christ was using were things like love and grace and mercy and compassion. And yet he's the most powerful person to ever walk the earth. So this main power source of Christians is the Holy Spirit. And this, rightfully so, is the least understood member of God as the Trinity, right? It's pretty easy to understand Father. It's pretty easy to understand Son. Then you get into what's called the Holy Ghost sometimes, and you're like, okay, I don't know, right? Father, Son, and then Ghost. It's kind of a weird combo, but that's what we're working with here. This is the reality. And so the Holy Spirit also happens to be the one that Jesus felt we needed even more than himself. And he says that in John as he's about to ascend. He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So he's saying there's even one better than him. And so in getting to know the Holy Spirit as advocate, right, that's just one of the many names used to describe the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. I've got a list of other names. I want you to listen as I'm reading these. So the first one is Spirit of God from Genesis, Spirit of the Lord from Judges, Holy Spirit from Psalm, Spirit of Truth from John, Advocate or Helper also from John, Spirit of Wisdom and Understanding, Spirit of Counsel and Might, Spirit of Knowledge and Fear of the Lord. That's all from Isaiah. Spirit of Glory from 1 Peter, Eternal Spirit from Hebrews, Spirit of Life from Romans, Spirit of Adoption, Spirit of Christ from Romans, Spirit of Grace from Hebrews, Spirit of Holiness from Romans, Spirit of Promise from Ephesians, Spirit of the Living God from 2 Corinthians, Spirit of Revelation from Ephesians, Spirit of Power, Love, and Sound Mind from 2 Timothy, and lastly, the Oil of Gladness from Hebrews. Of all these names, which one resonates with you the most? Maybe there's some that you've heard before, and maybe there's some that are new to you. Would it surprise you to know that that's not an exhaustive list? There's even more, right? There's even more names. I only have about 30 minutes. I didn't want to spend it all reading the names, right? The Holy Spirit is this multifunctional, multifaceted part, this component to living an empowered life in Christ. And so we don't have physical Jesus here with us anymore, right? So if we're going to live a life that follows Jesus, right, the apostles, the people that are writing Acts, they are people that literally just followed Jesus. We say they did have it easier in that sense. Like, oh, there's Jesus, we're going to walk that way, right? Pretty simple to follow Jesus when you have him physically. We don't have that anymore. So we have to access this power of the Holy Spirit. So for us as humans, power gives us strength, and the more power we have, the stronger we become. And so today we're going to look at three specific areas where we see the strength of the Spirit come alive in the church and help us live a life that helps our faith be set free. And so the first one is strength to share. And you'll see a scripture on your screen. It's Acts 1:8. This is when Jesus is ascending to heaven. He left the disciples with this command. It says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so as you can see, Jesus promises his followers that they will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and they'll be empowered witnesses to his message in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it's important to recognize that in naming these things, Jesus is saying, or he's clearly identifying that just how far this message would be spread, right? His command was to evangelize and spread the gospel message around the world. And to be clear, this was no small task, right? This highlights Jesus is highlighting the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit in this process. Remember, there were no trains or planes or automobiles at this time, let alone the internet. There was nothing that connected the world together. In fact, the people Jesus interacted with and was talking to at this time, there probably weren't even names for much of the world outside of the Roman Empire. And so to command his followers to take his message to the ends of the earth, that would have been an incredibly tall order, that they would have required lots and lots of power from outside of what they possessed. And so he's telling them about this Holy Spirit that's going to come. This is a powerful force you're about to realize and receive. And so, as many of you know, the gospel message isn't always a welcome one either, right? It's not always received with gentle acceptance, right? It's, in fact, there's often great hostility in preaching the gospel of Jesus to others. In Acts chapter 4, we begin to see just how much trouble these disciples are getting in preaching the gospel of Jesus to others. Peter and John were even instructed by the Jewish leaders at this time to stop sharing the gospel. And we're going to look at how they responded in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. It says, "Then they called him in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" That's not a human response, right? If the government, right, calls you in, I mean, our government now is very powerful, right? Has way more firepower and way more power than I have on my own, or me and one other person, right? It was the same here. If you're getting called in and said, "Listen, you need to stop talking about this Jesus guy, or there's going to be some consequences," it's not human to say, "Nah, I'm good," right? It's human to be like, "Oh, sorry, sir," right? That's where our instincts go. They are relying on this extraordinary power. So what these were doing, or what these guys were doing, is these were ordinary men who were able to do extraordinary things because of the Holy Spirit within them. And the crazy part of this is that the same Spirit that was enabling Peter and John for these sorts of responses is the Spirit that enables you and I. We've also been given the same power through the Spirit. So we have the strength to share the gospel with others and take the gospel message to the very ends of the earth. And now we even have the means, right? We have planes and trains and automobiles and the internet. We can actually get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. It also gives us the strength to stare down persecution and humiliation or anything else that the enemy might use to discourage us from sharing the gospel. Is it going to be an easy task? No. Will we have difficulty in this life? Yes. But, like the disciples we read about in Acts, the Holy Spirit will give us the strength to persevere as we seek to answer this call of Christ in our lives. So that brings us to the second point, the strength to persevere. So we receive power from the Holy Spirit. That power gives us strength to share the gospel and strength to persevere. Have you ever faced a situation where you had no choice but to just persevere through it? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of us, it is a daily thing, right? There are so many situations we find ourselves in where we just have to tough it out or gut it out. Maybe you've done something like run a marathon or a triathlon before, and I've not run either of those things. Have you, Kathy? Oh, that's awesome. Sure, that's fine. You've done more than I have. As you're doing something like that, there comes a moment where you're like, I'm either going to have to get up, or I'm just going to have to get, or give up, or just going to have to get through it. But there's other things. If you haven't done any crazy thing like that, just existing as a human brings these situations on too. Maybe you went through a nasty divorce, or maybe you had a rough diagnosis, or maybe you had a huge financial wall you couldn't get over, or maybe you had a family member that you just had to watch go down the wrong path. Whatever it is, I'm sure you've had to persevere through something at one point in your life or another. Everyone suffers at some point. Everyone experiences pain and hardship and adversity. Everyone has trauma. No one is exempt, and no one gets a free pass. And if we had the time today, we could probably go around the room and swap stories of suffering and pain and disappointment and trauma and loss. But I also think if we went around the room, we could swap stories of seasons that God has sustained us and the ways that He's given us strength to persevere. The truth is that there are seasons that we don't have the capacity to work through on our own, right? We need help sometimes. We can feel hindered and stunted and discouraged in our life and in our faith. But thanks to this gift of the Holy Spirit, we can experience this unhindered access to divine power, strengthening, and the ability to persevere through any situation we face. Now, that's not to say that we miraculously transform into a superhuman Marvel character. In fact, it's the opposite of that. Sorry if that's disappointing to any of you. Listen to this. Becoming smaller right? And relying less on our own power and admitting our weakness. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, God's grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in our weakness. So the strength to persevere is found in this verse. His grace is sufficient for anything that I find myself in. And I am strong only because I am admitting my weakness and living into the power that I can only receive from the Holy Spirit. So this is the power that gives us the strength we need to share the gospel, the strength that we need to persevere. And in one more way that we're going to talk about today, that's number 3, gives us the strength to love. In his book, titled the same, Strength to Love, Martin Luther King Jr. addresses this very issue. He says, only through an inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of the world in a humble and loving spirit. And to achieve inner spiritual transformation, we need help. We need an advocate or a guide. We need a companion to lead the way. We need the unhindered power of the Holy Spirit, which God has graciously given us already. When Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, he's giving them an impossible command. Right? In our humanness, that's the last thing we want to do. It's incomprehensible to think how a person could love an enemy or pray for somebody who is doing them wrong. But in Christ, we're new creations. In Christ, we have an eternal hope that impacts our temporary life. In Christ, we have this divine power and strength and ability to do these impossible things of life. Right? Not superhero stuff. Love, grace, mercy, compassion. I'll give you an example. Corrie ten Boom, she's a Dutch Christian who, along with her family, helped hide Jews in Nazi occupation of the Netherlands during the World War II. We see many stories through this family of impossible love. And in one particular instance, Corrie was in the Ravensbrück concentration camp and became ill. And one day she was assigned to cleaning the toilets, the bathrooms, the worst job, right? It was considered the lowest of the lows and the most degrading job in the camp. Corrie was so weak and ill that she could hardly stand, let alone clean filthy bathrooms. As she stood there, struggling to keep her balance, a fellow prisoner, a woman who she had never met before, came up to her and whispered, "Don't worry, sister, I will do it for you." And this woman proceeded to clean the bathrooms for Corrie. Even though it was a dangerous task, cleaning the bathroom was a dangerous task, but it could have led to punishment or death, her doing the job that she wasn't assigned for. So this act of selfless love deeply touched Corrie, and it gave her the strength to keep going. Even in the midst of such terrible circumstances, she later wrote, "It was the first time since I had been at this camp that I had experienced the presence of God so powerfully." This story demonstrates that even in the darkest of times, love can shine through and give hope and strength to others, even in the midst of persecution. So where have you seen this kind of love in your life? Where do you see opportunities to love others, even the person who's impossible to love? Where do you see those opportunities in your life to show those people the love of Christ and let, allow them to experience the presence of God in a real way through that love? The Holy Spirit is a gift freely given by God to those who believe in Him. In John 14:16-17, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as another advocate. And He says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." In this passage, Jesus is promising that the Holy Spirit will be given to His disciples as a gift to help them and guide them. Where do you feel the Spirit leading you today? Where would you like to experience more of that unhindered power, that strength, that ability from the Holy Spirit in your life? What areas of your life do you need more power from the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's in the area of sharing the gospel with others. Maybe it's more power to persevere through difficult seasons and situations. Or maybe it's the power to love the unlovable. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is available through Christ to all who believe. And through the Spirit, we can experience divine power and strength and ability. So this week, as we leave, let's access this power that God has so freely given us. This power that gives us strength to share the gospel, power that gives us strength to persevere, and the power that gives us strength to love. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we cannot thank you enough for your Holy Spirit. We're so grateful that you came to earth to die for us. But God, you didn't leave us there. In fact, you said you gave us one who is even better in the Holy Spirit. You give us access to you. You give us this, your Spirit to live and dwell within us, and gives us strength that we cannot find anywhere else. We thank you for that strength today. God, help us to view our world through the lens of your Holy Spirit. Help us to access that power daily. Help us to be people that share the gospel. Help us to be people that persevere. Help us to be people that show your love. It says over and over again, we don't have that power on our own. So help us to access that power this week and receive newfound strength that can only come from you. God, we just want to be people that live out our lives to glorify you. Help us to lean into your Holy Spirit to do that. Go with us today as we leave this place. Help us to be people that share the gospel, that persevere through situations, and that love others in all situations. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The worship team is going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you feel like God's been speaking to you this morning and you'd just like a place to respond, they're a great spot to do that. As you stand with us this morning, I just ask that you take these next few moments to worship and to reflect on what God's been speaking to you this morning.